A woman nervously drums the steering wheel of a car with her fingers.
How are you feeling? Beth, how are you feeling?
She nods, eyes closed, lips pressed together.
If you don't pass this time, yeah, it's because of the nerves. Yeah, I've taught you everything you need to know, yeah?
They're sitting in an old estate car outside a driving test centre.
You can drive.
Sorry, can you not talk?
She rests her head on a shaking hand.
What's the time?
He reaches out across the cluttered car and gives her a kiss.
Good luck. Go easy on the clutch, yeah?
He gets out and a man in a suit climbs in with his clipboard.
Hello, Beverly. Please, could you prepare the car? And we'll start the test.
BBC Learners, written by Jessica Hines, starring Jessica Hines, Sean Dingwall, Sarah Holland, Con O'Neill, and David Tennant. Beverly pulls away.
Please, could you turn left?
She stops sharply at the test centre gates. A man and his dog cross in front of them.
Oh. Relax, Beverly. Okay, break. Engine neutral. Engine. Mains are first. Accelerator.
The tester frowns as Bev looks around the car, trying to work out what's wrong.
Release the handbrake.
Release the handbrake. Yeah, well, because I knew that, I just wasn't ready, so... don't write that down, will you? Because I was just, you know, getting warmed up, so... Are you Australian?
New Zealand.
New Zealand. And left.
She edges slowly towards the gate, then zooms off out of the test centre. She's hit a milk float. The tester gets out of the car and looks horrified at the mess. Inside, Beverly's covering her eyes with her hand as the man surveys the damage and gets back in.
Oh, he just came out of nowhere, didn't he?
Your vehicle was parked.
Shall I carry on?
I think I've seen enough, Beverly. Please turn the vehicle round.
Oh, God, I've failed, haven't I?
Please.
Have I failed? Just tell me.
Please turn the vehicle round.
What, a three-point turn? Right.
The tester closes his eyes, resigned as she struggles.
Shall I?
No, I can do it.
She reverses away from the milk float with a crate still in the bonnet. Her husband watches from the test centre entrance as the car backs towards a bollard. The tester sits petrified and the crate falls off the bonnet as Beverly stops the car to look round.
Blind spot.
She reverses the car and hits the bollard she previously managed to miss. The tester watches with disbelief as she pulls away successfully. The battered vehicle is in the test centre again.
How many times have you taken your driving test?
8.
Well, I'm sorry to have to tell you that you have failed again.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
I'm sorry, Beverly.
Yeah, not that sorry, probably. You still get my 30 quid, don't you? Go travelling with. Yeah, have a nice time.
He gets out of the car and walks away. After taking a loaf of bread off the bonnet, her husband gets in.
I failed again. I'm so sorry. I was that close.
That close to missing it.
It shouldn't have even been there. I mean, who has milk delivered anymore? No one does.
I'll drive you to work, yeah?
I didn't see it coming. I kept looking at my mirrors.
Right. Yeah, you've got to look at the road, Bev.
Well, of course I was looking at the road. I just wasn't looking at that part of the road. It shouldn't have even been parked there.
Wait, just pull over, right? Calm down for a minute and let me drive.
Yeah? I'm fine. Oh, I can't believe I failed again.
Please, Beverly, let me drive. You're upset and emotional.
Don't start winding me up here.
Please, Bev. Please, Bev, let me drive. You're going to kill yourself.
He grabs the wheel.
Fine. I can't concentrate anyway with you coming on at me.
Where are you going?
Where does it look like I'm going?
Hey, Bev, where are you going? What are you doing, Bev?
Where's my bike?
Where are you going? Beth, where are you going?
I can't concentrate anyway with you going on at me.
Just let me drive you to work.
No, thank you. I'll get the bus.
Beth, calm down and get in the car.
She storms off. A gear change driving school car's going over humps in the road.
Watch the dial, Gloria. Watch the dial. Keep your eye on the speed. Slow down now. Slow down. Turn left at the next junction. Now that... You needed to turn left at that one, Gloria.
I didn't see that.
Right, we'll pull over at the next opportunity.
I don't know what happened.
You need to listen, Gloria.
Is it when I'm driving, I can't hear you. It's like I'm flying.
Well, even the red arrows need instruction, The higher you fly, the more you need to listen.
Yeah, but in Germany, on the U-Bahn, there's no speed limit.
I think you mean the autobahns.
That's what I said.
Well, you're not on the autobahns yet. So you've got good control of the car, you just need to slow it right down. You keep an eye on the dial. Okay. And we'll move off when you're ready.
Bev's walking towards a police station as another driving school car pulls up. It's driven by a pretty blonde woman whose passenger is a policeman hastily doing up his shirt.
You know, I wouldn't mind doing it in a bed for a change.
All right, I'll call you tomorrow. We'll do it at your place. Okay, I've really got to go.
Bye.
He puts a wedding ring on as he smooths down his hair. Inside, Bev's wearing an apron as she cleans.
Howard, you finished that?
Oi, Bev, how'd you get on with your test?
She holds up her hands as she goes out a door. In a corridor, she's mopping the floor. Another cleaner walks up to her.
I forgot to give you good luck, Cara. Thanks, Ivana.
Bev takes the card out of the envelope. Ivana's trying desperately not to laugh.
It is very funny, yes? He is a tiny kitten, but he has all this spaghetti on his little head.
The male driving instructor's washing his car when the female teacher comes out of an office building.
Oh, Chris, if you wish to wash your car, can you please use the allotted space?
Oh, sorry, I didn't realise.
It's your first week, why would you? But don't let it happen again, OK?
Fiona, I wanted to ask, I'd like to start using my driving aid with some of my pupils. I was just wondering if there was somewhere I could put it.
Oh, Roger always wanted one of those. Pop it in the staff room.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, bye.
He goes back to washing his car as Fiona drives off. Her space indicates she's the managing director. In the police station corridor...
I'd
have thought that was a job for Rentokil, Jerry.
So, how many times have you taken your test now, Bev?
Well, I'm not going to tell you, am I?
And who's been teaching you?
Well, my partner, Ian.
Well, maybe your partner isn't pressing the right buttons. Let someone else have a go. You know what I mean? Oh, you've got filthy mind you have, Bev. I am talking about professional driving lessons. Ta-da! Here, Give my mate a bill. What have you got to lose?
Try 40 quid a week, for starters.
Oh, if it all fails, here's a tenner.
What for?
Bus pass. Oh, Bev, Bev, tell her I sent you.
She sticks two Vs up at him through the door window. At the bus stop, Bev takes out the driving school card and inspects it. It reads, Gear Change, Fiona Ryan. Later, she's walking up a road through a caravan park. As she rounds a corner, she sees two burly men carrying a flat-screen TV out of one of the vans as Ian watches from the window. She runs up to them.
Oh, hi, guys. Oh, sorry, I think there's been a bit of a mix-up, because your boss, right?
Stuart.
Stuart, yeah. He pays for it. He's my uncle. You know, specifically, I rang him this morning. He said we can sort it all out. So I think he's going to be really annoyed if you... The thing is my mum, right? She's the illegitimate daughter of his dad. So he feels guilty because she was sort of ignored by the family and, you know, it's all hush-hush, but I'm not making it up.
Ring him.
I haven't got her.
One of the men hands her a mobile phone. As she dials, Ian peers out of the window with a young child in a cat mask.
It's ringing. Hello, it's Beverly here. Can I speak to Stuart? Oh, well, he's not there. Oh, no. Oh. Can you take a minute?
She hands back the phone.
Bullshit pay for televisions. You'd have a state-of-the-art home cinema. Unfortunately, we only take cash and debit cards. Have a good day, madam.
What did you let him in for? You don't have to let him in.
Alfie answered the door. They gave him a lolly.
Well, I'm going to have tea soon.
Well, take it off him. Be my guest.
Alfie, I want your lolly. No! Give me your lolly!
She chases him out of the caravan.
Come here.
Dad, I don't think we should have a telly anyway. Madonna doesn't have a telly. She won't let Lourdes watch it.
That's because Madonna doesn't want Lourdes to see her with her flange hanging out.
Dad! And it's Lourdes, not Lourdes. Mum, I'm going to do a joint honours degree, but I can't decide between Oxford or Cambridge. Where did you go?
Mum went to Iceland.
This washing has been sitting here since this morning.
Excuse me.
Outside, Bev hangs up the washing as Ian flicks through a magazine.
Bev, I've been thinking about getting some rare breed owls. They make a lot of money if they breed. Still thinking about your test?
No, I wasn't. No, but thanks for reminding me.
He hooks his chin over the top of the washing line and grins at her as she eats Alfie's lolly.
What?
I'm just examining you. You passed my test.
I can't believe you perv, mate, when I'm hanging out washing.
I perv you all the time.
She sucks the lolly suggestively and slowly takes it out of her mouth. Their lips meet over the top of the washing line and they hug as they kiss passionately.
You know what, Ian? I've been thinking. I'm going to start taking proper lessons.
Pay someone.
Yeah.
It's a total waste of money, Bev. No, I care about you passing. They don't. It's in their interest for you to fail to keep that rolling in.
No, Ian, no. I think if I had a few lessons with a professional instructor, that it really might help me.
Look, I don't think getting a professional instructor is going to change the fact that you are not a natural driver, Bev.
Well, maybe you're not a natural teacher.
She glares at him, then walks off.
Maybe you're not pressing the right buttons.
In Chris's car, a young lad is at the wheel.
I was out until 8 o'clock last night, you know.
Sounds early to me.
No, about 8 o'clock in the morning.
8 in the morning, well. I'll go easy on you, watch out.
Chris steers them past a cyclist.
Hey, Sophia was there last night, but I'm watching, man. Did nothing happen.
Uh-huh. Is this a girl that you like?
bruv, she's got them torpedoes, like. Well, she's not fat, though. She's got a good ass still, like. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think you should tell her. Not bad, obviously. There's no magic to that, no mystery. Toby girls just want to be loved.
Yeah.
True, say Romeo.
That's just quite L-O-V-E her, you get me? Bro, I'm gonna turn her around and BLAM! Man's gonna bounce her down on my big fat.
Stop!
An older woman is using a crossing in front of them.
Zebra crossing. Pedestrian always has right of way.
Bev and Ivana are cleaning the men's loos at the police station.
I'm leaving anyway, Ivana. I'm leaving. Private homes, yeah? That's where I'm going. 4 houses a day, £80, cash in hand. Yeah, you can use what you want. No red tape. Just got to pass my driving test.
You'll pass next time, Next time, no milk float.
Yes. Yes, correct, Ivana, yes. Next time, no milk float. I'll have my own business then. I'll be my own boss, you know. You should do it.
No, 2 years I work here, then build house in Ukraine. I've bought land now.
Well, you bought the land?
6 bedrooms, swimming pool, jacuzzi. My father, he built. You will come?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, we'll be there. Oh, yeah, yeah, you won't be able to get rid of us.
Now, Bev's sitting behind the wheel of Fiona's car.
Right, what I want to do is assess your capabilities, sort of informal profiling, to find out who you'd be best placed with in terms of you, your energy, that kind of thing.
Right, how much are these lessons?
They are worth it, I assure you. Okay, engine's running. Into gear. Check those mirrors. And handbrake. Well done.
Driving along.
I don't have the husband or children, but I do have the business. And to be honest, Beverly, I could not give up my independence, financial or otherwise. Men, in my experience, take and take and take. Of course, I don't have to tell you that. You're married to one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, with Ian, we've been together since we were at school.
Sweet. I suppose you're fed up now and you want to have a bit of fun, right?
Yeah, I suppose.
Oh! Going for a bit of a wander there. Just rein it in a bit, shall we?
What about you?
Oh, God, I'm single. I mean, there is someone. He's professional, but he also models part-time and he works with handicapped children, so... What does your husband do?
He's an entrepreneur.
Oh, right.
And he works part-time in a pork pie factory.
I met my ex-husband at a business convention and he was a go-getter like me. We divorced last year. So. What do you do?
I've got my own business.
Oh.
Yeah, eco-friendly cleaning.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Bev, you're doing the right thing. Get a life, get the independence, so that when the bastard leaves, you can stand on your own 2 feet. Watch out!
She's mounted the curb.
Oh. That's my money plan. We don't want anything happening to him, do we? I think I've got just the right teacher for you, Beverly.
At the driving school, Fiona swaps her trainers for high heels as she gets out of the car. Inside, Chris is surrounded by pupils. One sits on a contraption made of a car seat, steering wheel and gear stick.
The point of this exercise is to help you practice challenging driving scenarios, but in the safety of the classroom. And this will help you build confidence when you're on the road. So, John, if you could start the engine. Check your mirrors. Indicate and pull away. Sit. Remember your blind spot? A wonderful performance. So, driving. Always watch the signs. Now, John, I want you to check your mirrors. Apply pressure to the brake. Once you've slowed right down, change down into first, come to a halt, and apply the handbrake. Train's still coming, John.
What actions do you need to take to secure the car, John? Train's still coming, John.
Oh, my God!
Oh, I'm so sorry. I panicked.
All right, secure the vehicle, John. Finish the exercise.
Yes.
Excellent. Excellent. Remember, always focus on what you did right, not on what you did wrong. That way you'll grow in confidence, and with that confidence will come success.
Oh, Fiona, can I have a word?
Yeah, sure. Do you want to pop into the office?
Yeah.
That's it for today. Are you all right, John?
Yes, thank you very much.
Good lesson. See him again next week.
What can I help you with, Chris? I've got some stuff in the bank to get through.
I'm just on a designated break, and I just wanted to discuss a couple of things with you.
Fire away, Christopher.
Fire. It's quite a nice segue, actually. Smoking in the staff room, it's illegal now, and with my asthma, I just can't tolerate it.
Well, Roger just felt that if we had instructors that smoke, they shouldn't be made to feel like second-class citizens.
I see. God, I hadn't thought about it from their perspective.
Well, I'm a Buddhist, and I like to try and see everything from everyone else's perspective.
That sounds exhausting.
Well, I suppose we're all just getting used to life without Roger.
Yes, of course. It takes a while to get used to things, doesn't it? You must miss him. When did he die?
Who?
Roger, your husband, Roger.
He's not dead. Run off with a pupil, he lives in Stoke.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Are these pupils even paying any extra for these sessions?
Well, no. It's selfish, really. I love it when they pass. I mean, you know, you get these learners who come in and they're brimming with confidence and they take 10 lessons and then they get a little run around from daddy when they pass. And don't get me wrong, they deserve it as much as anyone. But it's the ones who really struggle that I get a kick out of, so to speak.
Well, would there be enough space in here?
You're not a smoker then?
Oh, I gave up a year ago.
Well, if it wasn't too much of an imposition for you, I suppose that would keep everyone happy then.
Fine, thank you. Oh, and you've got another client as well. Beverly Baldwin, starting Monday, 10 o'clock.
Okay, thank you.
She smiles and looks thoughtful for a moment, then bangs a small gong held by two brass elephants on her desk.
Amni Romni Chaka. What is that?
Bev's reading the highway code to Alfie as he falls asleep.
And driving a horse and cart, avoid roundabouts wherever possible. If you use them, you should signal right when riding across exits to show you're not leaving. Signal left just before you leave the roundabout. Well, what do I care? I'm not driving a bleeding horse and cart, am I?
She notices he's asleep, kisses him, then peers over the edge of the bunk bed she's lying on. Her daughter's counting money from a tin on her bed.
How much you got?
£113.57. Dad's going to change it up into notes for me.
It'll go further in France as well.
It's morning, and Bev's waiting outside the caravan. She waves to Chris as he drives along the road. She steps from foot to foot as he pulls to a halt beside her and gets out of the car.
Hello, Beverly.
Hi, I'm Chris.
Well, got here for a nice little chit-chat, yeah? We're on the clock. Just teach me.
Okay, right. Let's see what you can do.
Right.
Okay, Beverly. Okay. You ready?
Okay.
The windscreen wipers come on, and after looking around, she flicks them off.
Lovely.
Driving along a residential street, Bev notices a small model of a blue cartoon character on the dashboard and a crucifix hanging from the rearview mirror.
You're a Christian? I'm not. I'm nothing. Does that matter?
No, it doesn't matter. Avoid those parked cars over there, closer than they seem.
So are you like a proper Christian?
I think as your teacher, it would be inappropriate to discuss my religious beliefs.
All right. But are you?
Go on.
Is that a no, then?
I won't discuss it.
Come on, no one's going to know!
I won't discuss it.
You should be proud of it. I tell you, there's enough of the other. There should be more of it, of all of it.
And taking the next turning on the left.
So, Kazane's got a Volvo, so that's going to be my business vehicle, because I'm going to be like an eco-cleaner. You know, it doesn't sound right, does it? I think grain clean sounds better. Oh.
OK.
Yeah, I'm going to, like, clean people's houses with tea tree oil and vinegar. Because my daughter says all the bleachy stuff kills the fish and the plankton and it affects the, the...
Keep your hands on the wheel there, Beverly. Right then. Gently does it.
Yeah.
It's like a scourer. If you press too hard, the surface comes off.
She's doing a joint honours degree at Oxford and Cambridge.
Oh, well, is she?
Well, she's not. She's not doing it now, but she will do. She will do. She wants to.
Thank you, Beverly. Well done.
She turns off the car and sighs deeply.
So am I going to pass my test, then?
With practice, yes. 100%. Yes, you are.
All right, swear on that cross, then.
No.
All right, swear on the Smurf.
My rock Smurf.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm paying for these lessons. I need to know that you're not sitting there thinking, oh, yeah, you know, we've got a right one here. Ka-ching, ka-ching. Because I can't afford that. I can't afford to have someone string me along. So, Jesus, a rock Smurf.
Uh-huh. Well, then, Beverly, I swear on this rock Smurf that you will pass your test.
All right, so if I don't pass now, the Smurf gets it.
They both smile.
All right, thank you, Beverly. Just drive on in your own time.
It's early evening, and Ian is in their garden. He grabs his drill, and as the sun goes down, he puts together a ramshackle aviary out of old doors and chicken wire. It's dark when he's finally finished. Bev comes out of the caravan to see him with two small owls, one perched on each gloved hand.
Flo said it used to be all about birds of prey, but since Harry Potter, owls have gone through the roof, metaphorically speaking.
And how much metaphorical money did you metaphorically spend on these metaphorical owls?
Point is, Bev, I might have spent 200 or so quid, but it is money in the bank.
He watches each owl in turn as he walks.
What? Like the hot dog rickshaw? Or the time you gave those women 200 quid because they said within a week you'd have 2 grand.
That might still come.
Or the time you bought all the knockoff Nikes.
I have 50 quid for the lot.
Yeah, that's because they were all left feet, Ian.
Still sold some.
One pair to Alky Allen.
He still wears them, Bev.
That's because he's always drunk.
Bev, will you calm down?
You shouldn't spend our money without telling me.
I did tell you.
No, you didn't.
I did.
No, you didn't!
Ian looks at her, then steps into the makeshift aviary with the owls.
Check for my driving lesson's going to bounce now.
How much?
180.
So you don't think I should get the orangutans, then?
She glares at him. Chris listens to his answer machine at home.
Hiya, it's Mandy from Christian Connections. I just wanted to be honest and upfront, really, and tell you that I definitely don't think we fit. That's a relief, actually. I thought you were a little bit boring and not my physical type at all. Just wanted to let you know that in case you were thinking otherwise. It's better to be honest, I think. Well, good luck, and God bless you, Christopher.
At the office.
Jerry, what am I going to do with you? I'm ready to settle down and have, you know, whatever. And here I am, dating Mr. Commitment. Oh, it's not great, is it?
Are we dating? Come here. Come on. Come here.
He pats his lap and she walks over and takes a seat.
You know what? I think you are creating a problem where there isn't one. See, the beauty of what we've got is it's simple. It's just two people loving each other.
I know, I just feel like something's wrong.
He grabs her and they kiss passionately.
Does that feel wrong?
He checks his watch behind her back. In the morning, Fiona pulls up to the driving school and, carrying her high heels, dashes inside where she passes Simon, the instructor, smoking in the stairwell.
Fiona, I'm a smoker, yeah? And as such, I have to accept that the small pleasure I get from puffing on this fag is something I will inevitably have to relinquish, given the prohibitive and, frankly, invasive laws that infringe upon it. Now, the staff room was somewhere different, or so I thought. Apparently, he's got asthma. Now, you would think, as that puts him in the minority, he would be the one that has to stand out here.
Well, your comments have been noted and will be incorporated.
Chris and Bev are in the car.
I was wondering if you might be able to write me another check. That last one was faulty.
Oh. I have had a nightmare with faulty checks recently. Ah, you wouldn't believe it, you know. Don't get me started. No, I rang the bank and it'll all be sorted by next week.
Well, don't worry, you know. I trust you. Right, let's get this road on the show. Gently does it. If you were polishing a Chippendale.
Look, you'd be quite handsome if you got a haircut. Yeah.
And checking your blind spot, Beverly.
She concentrates as she drives.
Stay in your lane, Beverly. Keep to the left. Unless you see parked cars up ahead. Just keeping in the flow of traffic. Nice. Keep things moving.
A car zooms in front.
Okay, okay. And pull away. What's your rush, eh?
Well, you told me to go, so...
In your own time, Beverly. Never thought about what that means. In your own time. That's what this life of yours is about. Your own time, no one else's. It's time for everything. What are you rushing for, Beverly?
I'm in everyone's way.
Ah!
She finally gets started.
Do you know that song, Take Your Wheel? Huh? That's such a good song. Paul Collinson and the Lerners. 1992, the 50-50 tour. That was great times. Drive behind, driving blind. Don't let them get to you, babe. Just make up your mind, yeah? The cars around you might irritate. You gotta drive on, never procrastinate. The road ahead ain't gonna deviate. Follow the road sign. Stay in the white line. Upward speed, fine. Take your wheel. See how it feels. Take your wheel. Hands on the steering.
He smiles as he plays air guitar. It's a beautifully sunny day as Bev drives along happily.
Guy ahead who's seeing red, but don't let him get to you, babe. He got out of the wrong side.
They continue their song throughout the lesson.
You see, lovely. Smooth as silk. Smooth as silk.
She successfully navigates a busy roundabout.
That's it. Good, you see.
It's night, and there's a full moon in the sky. Ian is sitting with his eyes closed on his deck chair with a newspaper on his lap. Bev steps out of the caravan. He lifts an arm and puts it around her as she bends to kiss him.
good. How was your lesson?
I think I'm going to pass with him. I mean, he's a bit of a Jesus freak. But I like him. I really, really like him.
Yeah, well,
Hey, and what?
They don't want part-timers anymore, so me and Sunita have been let go. Oh, I'm really sorry, Bev. You're going to have to stop your lessons for a while.
Right. I thought you got on with John.
I did. I do. It's just one of those things. Oh, I'm really sorry, Bev. Well, we just can't afford your lessons at the moment.
But it's not we, is it? Ian, it's me. I can't afford my lessons because I'm picking up your slack.
I know. I know, Bev. I know. And I'm really sorry. Why don't I start teaching you again? You know, you've had a few lessons with this Chris bloke. Picked up a few tips. Yeah, why don't I start taking you out again?
Yeah, I suppose so.
I've been missing our little lessons together. I'll tell you that tomorrow, yeah?
Okay, yeah, all right.
She looks sadly up into the night sky. Next day, in Ian's car.
Feels odd driving this after Chris's Peugeot. Feels really cranky.
Well, I do apologise if it's not up to the usual standards of Chris's Peugeot.
I'm not saying that, Ian. I'm just saying it's different.
Right. You're making the same mistakes again. See, you're straining the engine, so what do you do? You need to move out of gear. Go gently, mate.
So what are your views on religion?
What? Are you in third? You're in third. Into fourth.
Just Chris and I talk about things, you know, just what current affairs.
Ian scowls.
Watch out, you're too close to him.
I was nowhere near him.
Too close to him.
I was nowhere near him!
He stares resolutely ahead while Bev looks furious. She comes off a roundabout and drives onto a slip road.
Where are you going?
I don't know.
It's a dual carriageway, you silly.
It's not illegal.
Indicate.
Look behind me. Is there a car behind me?
Just go.
Ian looks terrified as she drives over the rumble strip at the side of the road.
Christ! Beverly! Keep it on... Yes. Just keep it here.
What gear am I in?
Never mind what gear you're in. Pull back a bit.
I'm gonna overtake. Indicate!
We are coming off here!
I can do it! Get off!
They're parked at the side of the road.
So, Beverly, check your mirrors, check your blind spot, release the handbrake. Off we go.
Ian's at the wheel while Bev sits with her arms folded, looking very cross and teary.
I'm giving up driving, Ian. There's just no point if I can't have professional lessons.
I mean, it'd be like that, Bev. You just gotta get used to each other again, that's all.
Maybe I don't want to get used to you again.
It's charming, that, isn't it?
I'd rather give up if we can't afford Chris.
A sunny day in the garden. A donkey joins Ian and Alfie, who are sitting in their deck chairs watching the owls in the aviary. Inside the caravan, Bev's tidying up clothes when she comes across her daughter's tin of money. She opens it and takes out the bundle of money. After looking at the notes, she puts them back in the tin, shuts the lid, and returns it under the bed. Outside, an owl looks around. In the caravan, Bev grabs the tin again, opens it, and takes out the money. She rolls it up, then stuffs it into her trouser pocket. She throws some things to one side, picks up the empty tin with some clothes, then gets up and walks out. a class at the driving school in Fiona's office.
Overcoming nerves is the real challenge when taking your test. You need to show the examiner you're in control, so if in doubt, take as much time as you want.
Can I hum?
Yes, you can hum.
Sorry, I'm late. Sorry.
Shh. Bev squeezes behind a tall pot plant as she tries to find a seat.
The bus didn't come, so hold.
Indicate, release the handbrake.
Of course, I've got the money for you.
Yeah, give it to me then.
Yeah.
Now, slowly, release the clutch. Gently. Down on the gas. Uh-huh. Now, can anyone tell me what this sign is?
Bourbon Clearway.
Excellent.
Gosh, well done. Top marks.
In the police station, Ivana and Bev are standing by the cleaning trolley.
As you approach a zebra crossing, look out for people waiting to cross and be ready.
And will you turn left, Beverly?
Yes, I will, Mr. Examiner. I will turn left.
Bev sitting in the driving machine, talking to herself. A police officer shows her how to park with two toy cars.
And is it a bus lane? No. Carry on.
Remember, mirrors, signal, manoeuvre.
Well done, Beverly. Very good. Very good. You're a very good little driver. You've got to do it this time, Bev. Let's get this show on the road.
Chris steps out of the driving school towards his car. Seeing Fiona tending to some plants, he takes a bag from his pocket and walks over to her.
Licorice?
I prefer pear drops.
Pear drops, right. Right. Listen, Gloria's going for her test. A few of my group are coming along to support her. We're meeting for drinks afterwards. You want to come?
Yeah. Okay.
Great.
She watches as he walks over to his car. John's inside.
Okay, John. I think it's time we got this car moving.
I am ready, sir.
We'll stay in first, so you don't have to worry about the gears.
In a coned-off area of the car park, he moves slowly forward, then stops after a single car length, looking relieved.
How did that feel?
You know, after my breakdown, I left the theatre and began a stint at Crank's Vegetarian Restaurant, but I would not serve on the counter. It was as though I could not perform, even for a queue of vegans. So I stayed behind the scenes, slicing flapjack and so on.
Mm-hmm. Well, seeing as you're doing so well now, how about trying reverse?
Why not? I'm on a roll.
Ian sitting in the sun outside the caravan, reading a magazine, when Bev steps out.
Where are you going?
It's a leaving do for Ukraine and Ivana. I told you about it.
You look nice.
Oh, thanks.
She walks into a bar with Fiona. Chris and John are already there.
Hello. Hello.
You know, he nearly failed me because I was too cautious.
That's right, she thought he said she failed, but she didn't hear him.
Yeah, I just looked at him, I said, what on?
No, he smiled and I said, no, Gloria, you've passed, not failed, you drove magnificently.
And I was like,
right, shall I get anyone a drink?
Oh, yes, please, lemonade.
Lemonade would be great.
Thank you. Have a lemonade, yeah. Thank you very much.
Ian gets up from his deck chair outside the caravan and goes over to the aviary with Alfie. They peer inside to see a nest of eggs.
She did it! She did it! Come on!
They dance around like birds for a while, then stop and peer back through the chicken wire at the owl and the eggs.
Do we eat them?
Well, that would be inexpensive, wouldn't it?
No, Alfie.
No, we wait for them to hatch.
They smile and look at each other. In the bar, Bev's dancing.
Oh, I like your new haircut.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. More of a, just a restyle than an actual cut.
Mm. Actually makes you look like Russell Crowe.
Only cost £7.
Well, you never told me in your interview. Why did you leave your last job?
Oh, it was more a case of me wanting to leave Girvan.
Girvan? Where's Girvan?
Oh, it's on the coast. My fiancé and I split up.
Oh. Is she still living there?
No, no, no. She moved to Torquay with her new boyfriend.
Oh. A horrid place.
Yeah, they actually bought a pub though, which is funny because she doesn't drink, so...
Nightmare. My ex-husband ran a pub with his first wife. Absolutely horrendous.
So what was it happened with you and your ex-husband?
Oh, I wanted children, uh-huh. And he wanted to wait and concentrate on the business. And then, 2 weeks before my 36th birthday, he ran off with some girl.
Oh.
Yep. So that's a birthday I'll never forget. Yeah. Got so drunk I couldn't see and ended up on a train to Penrith.
He nods and looks surprised.
I see, why Penrith?
I love the Lake District.
Yeah, so do I.
No.
Yeah, you really do, yeah.
I'm going to get a red camper van, yeah? I'll put my car on it. Then after you, it's the Grand Canyon. Is this my drink?
Yes, yes, it is.
It's my drink. Oh, I don't know why I'm crying. I just don't know what I'm going to do if I fail again. Sorry, I'm really embarrassed. Prize idiot.
Well, you won't be failing.
Beb, don't think of that. You're going to pass, Beb. We need to get back. If I can do it,
cheers to you. Now, come along.
Well,
and to Gloria, yeah.
It's your time.
Oh, well, there we are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Here's to Ben.
How's
it going with your guy? Oh, it's very early days, and I don't want to speak too soon, but I think, well, this could be the one. Well, you know him anyway. He gave you my card. Jerry? Well, don't say it like that. What? No, nothing. No. Nothing. He's not married, is he? Is he? No, he's definitely not. No, Jerry's not married. No, he's definitely not married. I mean, he might be. I don't know him. I don't really know him, Fiona. Do you know what I mean? I don't really know him. Well, as I said, you know, it's early days. It's the honeymoon period, you know, so... Well, you know what I mean.
They look at each other awkwardly.
My mum used to say, if you can imagine him changing your catheter bag when you're 80, then he's the one.
They take their drinks and sip them silently. It's dark, and Chris drives Bev home. He stops outside her caravan and turns to her.
Beverly, there was something I wanted to talk to you about. I think... You're ready to take your test.
Can't believe it. I think you're such a wonderful man, Chris.
They smile at each other. Then suddenly, Bev launches herself at him.
Oh, no. No, Beverly. No, please. You're a married woman. I'm your instructor and a member of the DVLA.
Yeah. No, I just thought. Oh, I don't know what I thought.
She holds her head in shame, opens the door, and then makes a run for it to the caravan. Shocked, he watches her go. He catches a glimpse of himself in the mirror, and then admires his new haircut, clearly impressed at its powers. Then he spots the donkey looking at him. Back at the office, a drunken Fiona's on the phone.
I just don't feel like I go on like this anymore. It's just too painful for both of us, and I just want you to leave me alone. And the truth is, I can't imagine you changing my catheter bag.
Have you got that?
Yep. Too painful for both of us. K
catheter bag.
Thank you very much. Goodbye.
The police officer on reception adds another sticky note to a long line of messages, then goes back to playing with the toy car. Chris pulls up outside the driving school. He sits, looking at the light on in Fiona's office. Inside, she's sitting on the floor, surrounded by candles, and is drinking, leaning on a chair for support. Chris gets out of the car and goes up to the door. She puts down her glass and looks surprised as he comes over and kneels down.
Are you okay?
You must think I'm a complete harridan. I just don't know what to do, Chris. I just left the business in such a mess. And I just... I don't know if I can handle it all.
You're doing fine, Fiona, you are.
Do you want to take your coat off?
No, I'm fine.
How are things with Jerry?
Oh. Broken up.
Oh.
It's finally all over. What was that all about? Ridiculous, dead-end relationship.
They look at each other.
You've always reminded me of this boy I used to go to school with, called Francis Jarman. And he wheezed.
He what?
He wheezed. And I adored him.
She crawls over to him and looks into his eyes. He can barely speak.
Would you like to come to church with me?
I'm a Buddhist.
I'm an Anglican. We're desperate.
They stare, neither daring to move. Then they slowly lean closer, grab each other and kiss hungrily. They stop for a moment as Fiona takes off Chris's glasses.
Now that is a surprise.
I'm a wolf in sheep's clothing.
An ornamental dog on a shelf nods along to the music. In the morning, Bev's asleep on the sofa when her daughter, Juanita, brings her a cuppa.
Morning, Mum.
Yeah. Oh. You're a lovely girl. Do you know that? You're a lovely, lovely girl. You know, you can be anything you want to be. You just put your mind to it, whatever it is, and you go for it.
All right.
Promise me, Juanita.
I promise.
Good girl.
Oh, Mum, have you seen my savings tin anywhere?
No. Have you looked under your bed? Yeah, I'll have you look for it. It'll turn up.
Thanks.
Bev sits up and pulls her cardigan around her, looking guilty. Now she's waiting outside the test centre car park as Chris walks up to her.
Got a couple of minutes to go. Do you want a tic-tac?
There was something I wanted to talk to you about.
Uh-huh.
You know, when I, the other night.
Yeah.
And I'm very sorry about what I did. So Ian and I, we've been having an hard time, but that's, you know, I just wanted to say that I'm sorry to embarrass you.
Don't worry about it, Beverly, I understand. Of course, the true love never ran smooth. We can all feel vulnerable. I'll tell you a secret, actually. I'm in love with Fiona. So
What, you've...
No. I want to take it slowly. Invited her to church.
I don't think that's a very good idea, Chris. I don't think you're very suited to each other. She's not your type.
Huh? What do you mean?
What about your reputation at the DVLA and all that stuff?
Well, I think that me having a relationship with Fiona is very different to me having a relationship with you.
Yeah, I suppose you get a lot further. Shagging your boss.
Oh, Beverly, that's...
I just thought it might bother you, Mr. Christian, that she's having an affair with a married man.
Jerry's married?
You haven't got a clue, have you?
Shocked, he watches her strut off towards the car. She gets in and rolls up the window with an angry look. Inside the car, she struggles with the seatbelt as the examiner climbs in. She turns and notices it's the man she had last time.
Good afternoon, Beverly. Nice to see you again. Please prepare the car and pull off when you're ready.
She pulls away smoothly.
Turn left, please.
She nods as Chris stands in the car park watching her go. Out in the street, she's driving along when her eyes rest on the blue cartoon character on the dashboard. At the test centre, Chris leans against a wall and checks his watch. Meanwhile, Bev reverses round a corner successfully.
Thank you, Beverly. So, if you'd like to pull off from your own time.
Chris is still waiting. Bev's car is stopped at a junction.
My mate, get off my house.
Thank you, Beverly. If you could continue down the road and pull over after the zebra crossing.
A postman walks across, so she stops to let him pass. Then she sees Ian on the crossing and turns her face away, trying to hide. He stops and peers at her.
Bep.
The examiner looks scared as Ian comes closer.
Beverly, what? Beverly, what the hell's going on? Who's this? Who's this bloke? Is that him? Beverly, what the hell's going on? Hey, wait, whoa, stop the car!
Bev tries to shunt him out of the way.
Whoa.
The examiner looks terrified as Ian jumps clear.
Beverly!
In the car, the examiner crosses his arms and looks at Bev.
Who the heck was that?
Some nutcase.
He called you Bev.
She shakes her head, trying to think of something to say, while he just rests his head on his hand in disbelief. Bev looks like she's about to cry. Chris gets up from a bench as he sees them pulling into the car park.
I'm sorry to have to tell you, you have not passed your driving test, Beverly. You tried to run over a man at a zebra crossing. I'm sorry, Beverly. I sense how much this means to you.
He gets out, leaving her crying in the car. In the driving school office...
Jerry, it's over. You're married.
I want to leave her, Fiona. But I can't do that to her. I can't hurt her like that.
Well, I hope someone loves me like that one day.
I do. I love you like that.
Simon smoking in the doorway.
I want more than this. I'm always waiting for you, Jerry. No, I'm waiting for you to turn up. Waiting for you to do or say just one thing that would justify me being with you, but you never do. It's no biggie, Jerry.
I can't live my life without you, Gail. It's you.
Morning, Chris. How's it hanging?
Chris storms into the office to find Fiona and Jerry kissing.
Do you mind?
Sorry to interrupt. Just needed to tell Fiona something. I thought you might like to know that Bev just failed her test.
Oh, Chris,
I'm leaving. Gear change.
He looks at a shocked Fiona, then heads out of the door.
Oh, twat.
Jerry goes over to the desk, puts a cigarette in his mouth and fumbles in his pocket for a lighter. As he lights up, Chris watches him and walks off. But he stops and comes storming back in.
This is a no-smoking area, you bastard!
Jerry pushes him away.
Oi, behave.
Chris takes a swing at him and misses, falling onto a chair which slides across the room. Fiona covers her face as he gets up and lunges at Jerry.
Who is it?
Chris is pushed onto his driving machine. A furious Chris glares at Jerry as he gets up from the machine. He shoots Fiona a quick look as he storms out. In the caravan, Juanita's money tin is on the table while Bev glares at Ian.
I'm not going to say sorry to you. Because at this moment, I hate you. I really, really hate you. I failed because of you. My whole life is shit because of you.
Ian's looking sullen as she tidies.
There you go, Bev. Now you know how I feel.
Well, let's just separate then, shall we? Let's just go our separate ways. I do everything on my own anyway.
No, you don't. You don't do everything on your own, Bev.
Well, why do I feel like I'm bled dry? Like there's never anything left for me? Why do I never order my own portion of fish and chips and just eat everyone's leftovers?
You never ask for your own portion of fish and chips.
Well, why don't I?
I don't bloody know. Is that why you took Juanita's money? Because you don't order haddock and a wally?
I was going to put the money back, Ian. Don't make out like I'm some kind of monster.
Why are you so obsessed with these lessons?
Because I want to pass my driving test. Because I need a life outside of this family. Because I need to feel like I can achieve something. Chris was great. He was such a good teacher. He listened to me. He focused on me. He made me feel like I was really going to do it. Like my stupid, pathetic little dream counted.
Are you having an affair with him?
Oh, of course I'm not! I tried to kiss him, but he turned me down.
He's dumbstruck as he watches her put the washing away and fold up the ironing board. He rubs his forehead.
I'm trying the best I can, Bev. You are not the only one who is making sacrifices in this family. You took Juanita's money, Bev. She understood, Bev. Because you're not going through this life all on your own. We are all here going through it with you. Every bloody test you do. Willing you to pass, so we don't have to go through this anymore.
A guilty look crosses her face.
And you don't appreciate us, you, me...
She looks at him sadly.
When did you kiss him?
I didn't kiss him.
She gets up and sits closer to him.
I tried, but he turned me down. Why would he want me?
He looks at her, shocked.
You're the most beautiful woman in the world to me.
He shakes his head, waves his hand and walks out. Outside in the sunshine, Simon's in the driving school car with the young lad. They're both looking unhappy about it.
It's not brains, that's Thomas.
It's toady.
Whatever. Just slow down and keep checking your wing mirrors.
It's a 40-mile-per-hour zone.
So it is. Well, just you turn right here.
Toady indicates left before swerving to the right.
You're normally indicating the direction you're turning. Stupid idiot.
No, you're the stupid idiot.
I'm sorry?
You are the stupid idiot.
All right, just calm down, calm down.
You're supposed to be teaching us, you know, remember that? Things was never like this with Chris.
Just chill out.
Why don't you chill out? I'd hold on to something if I was you, mate.
Angrily, Toady changes gear and zooms off. A man sitting in his garden watches the car skid past. At the school, Fiona changes her shoes as she gets into her car.
That's it, John. Engine started. Let's go for a drive.
Fiona, I don't generally tend to leave the forecourt. Chris just lets me hang, here.
Yep. Well, you're not with Chris now.
He looks terrified.
No, I must press the point, my lad. I'm not au fait with the carriageway.
Whatever you're comfortable with, John.
The car bounces as he reverses through the car park and right into another driving school vehicle. A man runs to help as John gets out of the car and goes round to inspect the damage. The other car has steam pouring from its bonnet. The driver of the other car gets out and John makes a run for it. In a hospital, Fiona's sitting on a bed wearing a neck brace when a nurse comes to her bedside.
Everything's fine, Miss Ryan. You can go now. I just wanted to check. Did you know you were pregnant?
After an initial look of shock, her face breaks into a huge grin and she holds onto her neck as she laughs. Then, still grinning, she starts to cry as the news sinks in. Sometime later, Fiona's sitting on a park bench, wiping her eyes and fixing her makeup as Bev walks up.
Sorry, I tried to call to say I was fine. Well, I am fine.
Well, you sounded pretty upset on the phone, so...
Bev hugs her.
I'm sorry. I don't know what's the matter with me. I'm so sorry.
It's all right. It's all right.
It's good news. It's good news, isn't it? Well, it's hardly the fairy tale I planned, is it? You know, single and up the duff from a fling with a married man. I'm happy about the baby. I'm over the moon, but I'm in love with Chris. I've made a right mess of it, haven't I?
Have you called him?
I don't know what to say.
The path of true love never runs smooth, and we can all feel a little vulnerable sometimes.
I'm not going to say that to him, am I?
Just tell him that you're sorry, and that you love him.
It's evening, and Bev's mopping a deserted corridor while Ian sits in the dark outside the caravan, cradling a cup. Bev's now mopping a darkened men's loo at the police station. In the morning, the washing blows on the line as she checks her post. She puts her hand into the envelope and catches her breath when she feels what's inside. She pulls out the cartoon character from Chris's car and holds it close, smiling.
Mum, one of the owls are ill!
Where's Dad?
I don't know, Mum, she's ill. We've got to save her, Mum. And the eggs, we'll lose the eggs without her. Then I won't hatch.
Sweetheart, the nearest vet's in Camborne. I'd have to drive.
Alfie's running with a birdcage.
I
got him. Got the case. I found him.
She helps Alfie place the covered cage on the back seat and he runs around the car to climb in next to it. She gets into the driver's seat.
All right. Well, I'm going to get us there safely, all right? Just put your seatbelt on.
All right, Mum.
Let's get this road on the shut. Here we go, off to Timbuktu.
She safely pulls out onto a dual carriageway.
Everything's clear, so on we go. Lovely, Beverly. Well done. Very nice. This is nice, isn't it, Alfie?
Yes, Mum.
Checking the speed.
A police car drives up alongside her.
I'm on the limit!
Didn't know she passed her test. She hasn't.
I am with Bill! We can't bring her to the vet before her heads get cold and she dies!
You what?
His owl! It's a bird, Jerry! Twit to all, you know! We've got to get it to the vet!
Is everything so quiet, Harry? Well,
not a peep. Nothing's coming.
Well, let's help her out then, eh?
He gives her a thumbs up and she laughs as the police car pulls in behind her, following with flashing lights. A police motorcycle zooms out of nowhere and leads from the front. Alfie's grinning, clearly excited as he looks at both police escorts. At the vet's, Bev's sitting in the waiting room with Alfie, laying against her. The receptionist's painting her nails as Ian bursts through the door with Juanita.
Hey. Oh.
Alfie runs for a hug with his dad.
Any news? Well, you got here in the nick of time. Well done, you. Those eggs wouldn't have survived without their mother. I can see why you've taken such good care of your little family. When they hatch, they'll be worth a lot of money.
The vet walks off with a smile, and Bev looks at Ian, hopefully.
Oh, thanks, Bev. So, how was the drive over?
She was magic, Dad. She didn't look into anything.
Oh, it's all right. You know, I was a bit crunky with the gears, you know. When you turn 17 later, I'm going to buy you 10 lessons, and that's a promise.
They hug, and then Ian joins in.
Come here. So, do you want to drive us back, then?
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe she should take her test first, you know, so then it'd be legal.
Yeah, well, she's got a point.
What, take my driving test again? Oh, only if you all don't mind.
Oh, I can afford it now.
Go for it, Mum.
Oh, I love you all so much.
Fiona's sitting in the park.
Hi, Chris. It's Fiona. I've called because I just wanted to make sure before you move on, which I fully expect you to do, and I wouldn't blame you for doing. I needed to say that me and Jerry have broken up completely, and I'm truly sorry for hurting you, and that
you have 10 seconds to finish your call.
I would like to be
your friend. What I really mean is that
at home, Chris is listening to the message on his answer machine.
I love you.
She holds the phone to her ear for a while, then sadly lowers it to her lap. At the driving school, Chris walks into the car park and looks up at the office. He hesitates, standing and staring for a while, before slowly walking up to the door. He opens the door to the office to find Fiona arranging flowers in a vase on her desk.
Chris.
Fiona. I wanted to see you. Boys and pear drops.
At the test centre.
Come on, Biff. Come on, Biff. Come on, Biff. Come on, Biff. Come on, Biff.
May I say, on behalf of all of us, so sorry. Congratulations.
Oh, there's Fiona. Hi,
hi
Fiona.
Everyone. Hi.
Hi.
Bought some refreshments.
Oh, I love
come
this.
Come with some pineapple, tuck in, I know I'm veggie.
Oh!
Very good.
Yeah.
Good. Will you have one?
Let it go, my love. Let that tension go.
Hummus and pineapple.
No. I suppose she has her reasons. I can't quite place what they are.
I love her so much.
Here she is! Here she is! I can't cope with this. This is still my nutting.
Bev drives up slowly in their battered car. She's with the same examiner again.
You breathe, breathe, Ian, breathe.
The car comes to a gentle stop in front of them. Inside, the examiner looks down at his clipboard, while everyone outside waits anxiously with fingers crossed.
Well, Beverly, I'm going to give you your test results now.
Oh! I passed!
Oh! Red card to Fiona!
A smiling examiner walks towards the jubilant crowd.
Got a head, he's seeing red, but don't let him get to you, babe.
A small white car pulls up outside some shops. It's emblazoned with Dial a Green Cleaner. And Bev is at the wheel. She makes several attempts to park in a space, driving into it, reversing into it, and when she finds herself at a right angle with the pavement she's just mounted, she stops.
Bug about. Just use the multi-story.
Take it!